This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, summer heat and stroke precautions for pets, a cozy pet mystery, and a nationally recognized holistic veterinarian. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Email us at doggydivashow@aol.com. That's doggydivashow@aol.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
Pick up two tubes of Dogosuds.
Get the third tube free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Dogosuds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe. Great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Dogosuds. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dynovite.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. I am here with Monica Layton, President of Professional Pet Sitting, with our Pet Tip of the Week. And Monica, summer is here, and it is hot outside. Could you give us some summer safety heat precautions for our pets?
Absolutely. So yes, it is hot. And some of our certain breeds have more difficulties during this time of the year as well, simply because of their airway issues. You have some smaller breeds that tend to have, you know, the smaller tracheas. You have your bronchiophilic breeds like your pugs and your shih tzus and your Persian cats that kind of have the cute, adorable, smushy faces. But sometimes that can make it harder for the heat to, you know, escape them and get through the airway. So that makes them more susceptible for overheating, for heat exhaustion and heat stroke. So just a couple things. Be aware that not only the smushy face breeds that we talked about, but our geriatric pets, even if it's a breed that would not normally have an issue, geriatric breeds have been linked to having more issues with heat stroke. So be very, very cautious with our older guys. Try to walk not at peak times of the day. You know, have your longer walks be in the morning or closer to sundown in the evening to where it's not in the heat of the day. Make sure you always have water with you. Watch the cement. Cement and pavement gets so hot. And on their pads and paws, they can get a severe burn from hot cement. So always test it. If you go out to the whatever road you're going to be walking on, the way that they always recommend testing it is to go ahead, put your hand, hold it there for at least 5 seconds. If your hand is too hot, then the paws should not be on that cement. So, you know, go out to the road, put your hand on there and hold it, like I said, for that full 5 seconds. And if you're getting hot, then that's really going to affect your dog's paws. Another thing is knowing signs of heat exhaustion. So that way, if you are starting to see these signs, you can get them in and get them cooled down or get them to their veterinarian immediately. So some of the signs of heat exhaustion: excessive panting, vomiting, loose stool, discolored gums. You can see in their nose and some of the lighter colored breeds and their gums, they'll get blue or very, very, very bright red as they get, you know, hot, that you can see that they get more red. These pets will start being lethargic. You'll get excessive drooling and kind of like a lack of coordination. And if you're seeing those signs, you need to get to your vet immediately. You have to be extremely cautious because when you have heat stroke pets, you have to slowly cool them down. You want to immediately give them water, but you do not want to give a huge amount because they can, if they take in too much at one time, that can actually make them vomit and become even more dehydrated. So you definitely want to seek veterinary care. Don't just try to bring your pet home and cool it down yourself. Definitely rush to the veterinarian because when they overheat and that internal temperature for your pet goes up to a level that's causing issues, it's a very time-sensitive issue. And you get into organ failure, you get into more severe cases if it's not treated immediately. So that's definitely something that you don't want to kind of wait and see. It's get them to the vet right away. But like I said, cooling vests, they have these really cool cooling vests that you can get for your pets when you're walking to keep them cool. You can, you know, change up your routine, things of that nature. But anything to where you're not doing an excessive amount of activity in the hot summer, and watch your dogs for signs of overheating. And that will really make it safe for them to be out during that time of the year.
Well, thank you. That's so helpful because we all want to spend as much time as we can with our pets. But if we're spending it outdoors in the heat, we have to make sure that we put their priorities kind of like ahead of ours for that. So I thank you so much for this information.
Thanks, Monica.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Hello, everyone. Miss Olive and Sophia the Doggy Diva want to thank you for your amazing response to their special book, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home. And they want to let you know that Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home is now available in both hardcover and softcover. And that's at Amazon.com. As Miss Olive says, woohoo, yippee! Thank you, everyone. Coming up, could your dog solve a mystery? That's next. Stay tuned.
Hair everywhere! How do you manage your cat's hair, hairballs, and dander when they're not really fond of bathing? The answer is just a whisker away with catnip bath wipes from Whitegate. It's the only cat wipe on the market that's infused with natural catnip oil. Catnip bath wipes will leave your cat happy, calm, and playful, and you'll both look forward to bath time. Go to WhitegateInc.com, that's WhitegateInc.com, and enter the code CATNIP for 15% off site-wide plus free shipping. That's right, 15% off. We're not kidding.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. If you're a fan of mysteries set in sunny Florida, go grab a beach chair wherever you are and enjoy escaping to the Sunshine State, but no airfare or travel required. The popular Pet Psychic Mystery Series takes place in the real-life city of beautiful St. Pete, Florida. And these are stories for both mystery and animal lovers. And it all started with a rescued mastiff named Karma. So we want to welcome the author of the Pet Psychic series, Shannon Esposito. Welcome, Shannon, to the Doggy Diva Show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, like you said, I'm the author of the Pet Psychic Mysteries, which currently have 5 books in the series, including the new release, Pushing Up Daisies. I also write the Paws and Pose Cozy Mystery series, which currently has 3 books in that series. And personally, I grew up in a small Pennsylvania town called 84. That's where 84 Lumber started. And it was a great, you know, place for me to grow up as an introverted kid. I got to spend a lot of time in nature, exploring the woods around our house, and a lot of time reading. You know, like most writers, I've always been an avid reader. In fact, do you remember those, the James Herriot Vet Trilogy books?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All Creatures Great and Small.
Yes.
I read those when I was 10 and decided, okay, I'm going to be a writer and a vet.
Oh my gosh, that's what I said years ago I was going to be a veterinarian, and then I was 10 years old and I told my parents I was going to be a writer. So
really?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they shoved the notebooks in front of me back then. So it sounds like you had the same thing.
Yes, that's a good age to, I mean, I have 13-year-old twin boys and I cannot get them to read these books yet, which I'm very upset about because they're life-changing. But yeah, I nixed the vet idea after figuring out, you know, you can't save all the animals, so.
I joke about the fact that growing up, my grandmother brought me up. My mom worked, and we had like a triage on our porch because I'd go into the woods and bring home all these, sometimes dead, sometimes dying.
Yeah.
But my Nana would go, okay, let's see what we could do. So I was like all about fixing the animals and learned some of them couldn't be fixed. So that's interesting that we have that same background.
Yeah, it's amazing that she was that supportive though. That's great.
Yeah, it was magical, I'm telling you. And that's where I got my love of animals and what could be done for them. So now I need to ask you, what was your inspiration for the Pet Psychic Mystery Series?
Okay, so I was actually coming off of writing The Monarch, which is like a really dark serial killer mystery. And I was kind of emotionally burnt out from being in that headspace for a year. And let me just explain here that, like, writing is the way I make sense of the world. And even though in our little small town of 84, you know, there wasn't much crime, but we did have one horrible thing happen. And that was when I was 9, my best friend's sister got taken right off of our street and murdered by a serial killer. So, you know, writing this serial killer book was kind of my way of trying to make sense of that event. Like, not that particular murder, but just, you know, somehow something that horrible can happen and control the ending. So I was talking to my daughter about how I was so burnt out from this and I wasn't sure I wanted to write anymore. And she was like, hey, just take a break and write something light and fun. And so I took her advice and thought, you know, I like pets. I like things with a paranormal bent. And I asked myself, okay, if you could have one paranormal power, what would it be? And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could know what animals are thinking when they're sick or traumatized and know exactly how to help them? So that was the birth of Darwin's character.
Like she's a very sweet, lovable, naive, gentle with her gift. The characters in the book I absolutely love, and I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit about them in a minute. And of course, as the series expanded, we get to meet her sisters. There's different kinds of animals that come in through various ways. And the actual Darwin character, where did you get that? Because she's just so sweet and gentle.
You know, I don't know. She just kind of materialized. My books usually start with a character and I usually physically see them first and then kind of, you know, get to know them just through their actions when they start interacting with the other characters. And they really like come to me. It's kind of a magical process.
I love that. And just so the listeners could know, there's a number of characters in the book. Can you just tell us a little bit about, and I'm going to ask for you to talk about a little bit about the two-legged and the four-legged characters in your books.
Well, the other main character, let's see, there's Sylvia Alvarez. She's Darwin's partner in the business at Darwin's Pet Boutique. She's a Portuguese woman that has, you know, kind of a passion for baked goods and designer clothes. She's a really fun character. And then the main character, Darwin's main love interest, Detective Will Blake, he's like the tall, dark, and handsome, you know, only believes in things he can see improve. So that becomes a problem for Darwin when she starts to fall for him. You know, he thinks all psychics are charlatans and fakes, of course.
Yeah, they did make an interesting couple.
Oh, yeah, very opposite. You know, opposites attract, right?
Yes.
And Frankie Maslow, who's one of my favorite characters, she was homeless until she won like millions in the Florida lottery. And she's got a heart of gold and just becomes one of Darwin's really good friends. And then, of course, Darwin's younger sisters, Mallory and Willow, who are introduced in books 2 and 3.
And all of them, there's new animal characters that are introduced in each of the books too, and they all come in various ways that are kind of magical in themselves. And I don't mean like out of the air magic; it's the way that they come into their lives.
Yeah. So, like in each book, there's an animal that Darling gets a vision from that has something to do with the murder victim, and you know, because Detective Blake doesn't believe in psychics, she has to find physical evidence to give him instead of telling him about her vision. So each animal helps her figure out the cases, and that's kind of how she gets involved. But in book one, yes, you mentioned, you know, it was the rescue mastiff, Karma, which I just love mastiffs. I have a mastiff mix, and then we lost our bigger mastiff last year to cancer. Mm. But so that was my first, you know, character, dog character. And then in book two, Lady Luck is a cat. It's the only book that has a cat, just because I grew up mostly with dogs, so I don't really understand cats. But does anyone even really understand cats? Like,
I really, you know, I have cats and dogs, and I totally got that book. I totally got the cat. I love the cat.
Oh good. Okay, I did it right. Like, we had outdoor cats, you know, so they were just very aloof, and not. I've never had an indoor cat, so I did a little bit of research. I'm glad I got that right. And then Silence is Golden is book three, and that's where Darwin like meets the real love of her life, the golden retriever Goldie. Mm. And Goldie, well, I don't want to give away too much, but Goldie becomes really important to her. And then, of course, the little orphaned Yorkie pup in book four. Who you just want to squish.
I know. All the stories, I have to tell you, I love all your characters, but I actually, because I live in the Florida area, I know where St. Pete is, and I pictured this one woman who I met once at a dog event who totally encapsulates what this character is about. And no matter what, I always picture her as this Frankie
really?
Character who I absolutely adore. Door. She's like fabulous. So that was a great character that you created. She's very kind of avant-garde, over the top, and just has a lot of depth and a lot of layers to her. So I love that character.
Well, that's the thing about Florida is there's so many characters. Mm-hmm. Like I do a lot of people watching, and it's a great place to actually get characters. Yeah, I mean, everybody's heard of Florida Man, right?
Yes.
All the crazy crimes in Florida. So it's a great place to set books, to set murder mysteries specifically.
It is. And it's got a lot of fun locations, because not only do we have the beautiful beaches, but we also have the Everglades.
Yeah.
That would be a good one. There's your book six. So speaking of that, can you tell us what to expect? Because I have this book pre-ordered. I love the doxy on the front. Oh my God. I just want to, can you tell us about book five, Pushing Up Daisies?
Darwin gets involved in helping solve a poisoning of an infamous food critic at the seafood festival she goes to. But it also resolves two major issues in Darwin's life, one being a secondary love interest that came on the scene in book two, I think. Yeah, book two. And then also the girls finally get to see their father and get a better understanding of where their elemental gifts come from. Mm. So it kind of wraps up a lot of the, you know, ongoing plot points.
And, of course, it takes place at a seafood festival, which everyone reading the book will, like, become a part of, because you do a really great job of describing the scenery and putting the person there. So, like I said in my intro, if you're not from around here and you really want to take a trip to Florida, there's no greater way to do it than to just grab, you know, download one of your books in the Kindle, buy the book, and just you're immersed in what sunny Florida is all about. And of course, St. Pete, there's so much going on in St. Pete. There's always something going on. So you describe them beautifully.
Thank you. Thank you. I get to, you know, actually travel there and just write it off.
I love that. And some of the places that you mentioned, I said, oh, I know where that one is. I know. I think I know where the one's conjured up from, which makes it special for me. I love it. Olive and I go, yeah, we love that. So Now where can the listeners go to learn more about you and to learn more about your Pet Psychic Mystery Series?
Well, the best place to go is my website. It's murderinparadise.com. And actually, if you sign up for my newsletter there, you get the Monarch for free. And I only send out newsletters when there's like a giveaway or new release, so I don't spam you. Or I'm also on Facebook. You can search for me at Shannon Esposito Author, and of course, Instagram and Twitter. And right now, the Pet Psychic series is only available on Amazon because they're in the Kindle Unlimited program. So, you know, that's good news for people who are in there. You can read the books for free, or you can pre-order it right now for $2.99, the new one, Pushing Up Daisies.
That's great. And I can't wait till mine comes. And I also want to thank you because I read The Monarch and you explained where you came from in writing that. So I appreciate that because I understand the story a little more. So,
yeah.
Well, Shannon, I want to thank you for being our guest and thank you for sharing these warm, strong, sometimes mysterious characters with us. And of course, I want to thank you for shining light on animal rescues in the Pet Psychic series because we're all about animal rescue and you do a really great job of that in your books. So I wanted to thank you for that too.
Oh, you know, thank you for having me. And, you know, in a perfect world, we wouldn't need animal rescue, but, you know, writing is one way I can kind of help with the animals. So
exactly.
Having me on.
And you do a beautiful job of it. So I thank you so much for being our guest. And
well,
we hope to
having.
Have you back on again when you do your Everglades story.
Next book.
Thank you very much. We'll be back in just a minute. Coming up, one of America's best known holistic veterinarians is on with us next. Keep it here.
It's designerpetsweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit designerpetsweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Large or small, we fit them all. Designerpetsweaters.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Doggy Diva Show. Dr. Judy Morgan is a nationally renowned best-selling author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian, best known for healing her patients with whole foods, minimizing medications, and chemicals, allowing the body to heal from within. Today, we welcome Dr. Judy Morgan to tell us all about this great information. Welcome, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well, having a wonderful summer day.
You have such a great background. Can you please share your background with our listeners?
Sure. I have been a practicing veterinarian for 35 years, and I started out as a traditional veterinarian, which we all do because that's what we're taught in school. And within 10 years of being in practice, I realized that I didn't have enough tools in my toolbox, so I started studying acupuncture and chiropractic and food therapy and herbal therapy, and it just kind of blossomed. And now my practices, I own two practices, and they're integrated, so we do practice traditional medicine, but for the most part, we try first to use whole foods, herbs, and natural healing modalities to allow the body to heal itself before we move on to medications that may have side effects or, you know, adverse events associated with them.
Now, can you explain to listeners what food therapy is?
So, you know, it's really interesting. Most of us just, you know, put food in our pet's bowl based on advertising or, you know, what our friends tell us they're feeding their pets and they're doing well or, you know, recommendations on social media. And we do the same for ourselves. We just, you know, eat what we tend to like the taste of, or sometimes we're on the run and we're just grabbing fast food and we don't think about the effects of that food on our body other than, you know, okay, I'm eating this many calories and I'm gaining weight or I'm not. And really, there's so much more to it. Every single thing that passes our lips and goes into our digestive system is going to have an effect on the body. So one of the easiest ways to really think about that is think about when you eat like a spicy hot pepper or a hot curry Indian dish, and you feel that burn going all the way down, and then you start to sweat, and that is generating heat. So that's a food that is adding warmth to the body. We can use that to our benefit, not necessarily with hot peppers, but if we have animals who are cold all the time, so a lot of old dogs can't regulate their body heat as well, and they tend to be cold and shivery, or we take chihuahuas and we have them living in very cold environments where they can't generate enough body warmth, we can use foods that are warming to help do that from the inside. And then the opposite can occur. Think about, you know, a hot summer day like today, something that we would love to eat would be a slice of watermelon. It's nice and cooling, it's wet, and that same thing would apply to our animals. So everything that we put in, whether it's a vegetable or a meat protein, dairy product, anything that goes into our animals will have effects on the body.
So how would it be best to change our pets' diets to help them heal?
So one of the first things you need to do is figure out what your pet needs. And my most recent book, Yin and Yang Nutrition for Dogs, Maximizing Health with Whole Foods, Not Drugs, talks about the five different Chinese veterinary medicine personalities or patterns that our pets would have, whether it be a dog, a cat, a horse, and even ourselves. And once you figure out that personality and then figure out, is my animal too hot or is my animal too cold, or do they seem pretty comfortable no matter what the weather is, then we can take certain food proteins and change them. So even if you don't switch, I'm not a huge fan of feeding dry kibble. I don't think it's the species appropriate for our dogs and cats. But even if you're feeding a dry kibble, and let's say you have a dog who has a lot of chronic inflammatory disease, they're panting all the time, they're seeking the cold tile to lie on, they want to go lay in front of the air conditioner all the time. Those are animals that are way too hot. And so I have lists of the different foods and how they affect the body. Well, lamb and rice are both very hot for the body. So if we had that dog, for instance, on a lamb and rice kibble, we're just throwing paper on their fire. We're just stoking that engine all the time, and they just can't get away from their own heat. Even if we sped the same brand of food, but we switched to something that would be more cooling to the body, so a pork diet or a fish-based diet, because those are more cooling proteins, we can see a difference in that pet within a week or two just by changing the protein base in their diet. So, and then certainly if you want to go beyond that, then you can I design homemade diets for people all the time that are specific for their pet's problems. So we'll choose the proteins, the vegetables, the supplements that we put in based on what we're trying to take care of in the animal's body.
Well, and in your best-selling book, Yin and Yang Nutrition for Dogs, you do detail the importance of pet nutrition and how food therapy can help them. And you have these beautifully photographed, these great, and they're very easy to use recipes. Can you share a couple of recipes? I mean, it's beautiful the way the book was done, and I think that it's easy for pet parents to follow. You made it very learner, user-friendly.
Well, that was kind of the point of the whole thing, because my first book, which was From Needles to Natural, that came out about 5 years ago, I talked about different medical issues that our pets might have, whether it's liver disease, heart disease, cancer, kidney disease. And in there, I said, well, if you have a pet with liver disease, you need to feed, you know, dark leafy greens and eggs and sardines, you know, those are, and liver, those are things that are really good for liver health. But I didn't give recipes and I didn't give specific amounts. Well, then the emails started flooding in. Hey, doc, you know, that's great. How much of that do I give my dog? You know, how much is too much? How much is too little? How much do I need to actually get the effect? And so it became pretty clear to me over time. Plus, when I was doing consultations for people, I was having to start from scratch every single time and write out the recipes for them. And I thought, well, this is dumb. If I made a bunch of recipes, I can just hand those out. It'll take half the time. So that's really kind of how this book came about. And there's about 60 recipes in there, and they are divided by the personalities. Mm-hmm. But for instance, a fire personality is ruled by the heart and the small intestine. So there's a lot of recipes in there for dogs with heart disease, whether that's heart failure, anemia. So, you know, each thing is kind of divided by category. Probably, well, definitely the most famous recipe in there is at the beginning of the book. And it's, I think the chapter is Where It All Started, Pup Loaf. And Pup Loaf, I had kind of a beginner's version in my very first book where I took a base mix that's very popular on the market that you add your own meats to. And I kind of doctored that up and I made the original Pup Loaf. And it became very popular. There were, you know, a lot of the holistic pet owners, myself included, we don't like to use synthetic supplements and we don't want to see synthetic vitamins and minerals. Because that, particularly if you have allergic pets or pets with IBD, you know, any kind of allergy problems, it can, all those synthetics can definitely cause a reaction in the body. The immune system looks at it and says, hey, that's a foreign invader. I should have a reaction. So, you know, people were begging for a recipe that was whole, using all whole foods, and we didn't have to add a bunch of supplements. So the Pup Loaf recipe in that book is a complete diet without having to add anything to it as far as supplements. And the great thing about the recipes is that they can be fed raw. If you're a raw feeder, they can be cooked as a meatloaf, or they can be thrown into a slow cooker and made that way. And you can just multiply the recipes. You know, if you have a bigger dog and, or you want to make a huge batch and put it in the refrigerator or the freezer, you can do that. So, Pup Loaf has gone viral. It is being made all over the world. I get pictures from people all over the place and it's, so it's really been kind of fun. And there, I have videos. There's a YouTube video. There's a video on my website, drjudymorgan.com, where it shows how to make the Pup Loaf. It gives the complete recipe on there. And it is interchangeable. So people will call me and say, well, my dog's allergic to beef. I can't do this recipe because it has beef. Well, you could substitute in ground turkey or ground chicken or ground pork, or you could do a combination of the ingredients. One of the things that people commonly want to leave out of the recipes is the organ meat. And they tell me, oh, it's too hard to source. I can't find it. And it is possible to find it. Sometimes you have to do a little searching. But the organ meats are really, really important for our pets. And they supply a lot of vitamin content that is not available in just plain muscle meat. So if you're going to use the recipes, you do want to try to include that as much as possible. And then in the back of the book, there's a chapter called The Balancing Act. And that is the chapter, a lot of people, they get the book and they go, well, my dog has liver disease. And they just turn to the liver disease recipes. And they're like, okay, I'll just make those. But the diets themselves, other than the Pup Loaf, are not 100% complete and balanced. And you have to go to that Balancing Act chapter in the back. And that tells you what you would need to add, you know, whether it be using whole foods or using supplements, but what you would have to add to make sure that your diets are complete, because that's one of the biggest concerns that veterinarians have with home cooked diets or home prepared diets. And certainly it is a concern if you kind of get stuck in a rut doing one thing that's not balanced.
How important are natural supplements? And I know that you have like digestive ones, you have different supplements. How are they important? Are they in improving our pet's health and their immune system?
Well, certainly, you know, it's just like us. If we could afford and could find organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, you know, non-GMO foods for ourselves, we would have better health. But it's certainly not in everyone's budget. And until that becomes, you know, a little more popular as far as ease of sourcing and affordability, you know, it can be very difficult, particularly, you know, I have families who have, you know, for instance, 11 large dogs, and they kind of look at me and go, yeah, I can't even feed myself organic. And, you know, I totally get that. And, you know, really it's about doing the best that you can within your budget, within your time constraints, and, you know, making it as, you know, as healthy as possible within your constraints. And so I totally understand that not, you know, people think I'm a zealot about feeding organic. Believe me, my dogs do not get organic all the time. My dogs do not get grass-fed all the time. My dogs get whatever my budget allows for that week and my time allows for that week. So, and the same for me. But particularly if I had a dog with, or a cat, with a lot of allergies and a lot of chronic immune disease problems, then you better believe I would be looking for everything as natural and as whole food, organic, as just as clean and pure as possible so that we can try to reset their system.
That's great. And it's so important because I think that people always want that for their dogs and their cats. They want them to be the healthiest naturally that they possibly can. Now, where can the listeners find additional information about you and about the things that we spoke about today?
My website is at the best starting point, drjudymorgan.com. So drjudymorgan.com, very simple. And I have a Facebook page that's very popular, and that is Judy Morgan DVM, as in Doctor of Veterinary Medicine. If you go to Judy Morgan, you get pictures of my kids. If you go to Judy Morgan DVM, you get dog stuff. We try to do a Facebook Live most mornings about 8 a.m. There's probably 700 or 800 of them archived on there. And it's each morning about 8 o'clock, Monday through Friday. We just do a little chat, and they're educational or sentimental, or, you know, I talk about what's going on in the food field, the veterinary field. There's tons of information on there. And we do have a private supporters group on the Facebook page as well, where we do private webinars usually once a week.
Oh, that's so wonderful and very helpful. So before we go, is there anything more you'd like to share with our listeners?
You know, it is possible to have your dogs live to be 18 to 20 years old. And that used to be the norm back in the 1970s. And now we've been sort of reprogrammed to think that a dog that lives 9 to 10 is an old dog and has had a full life. And we need to change that paradigm and go back to expecting our pets to live to be well into their teens. And right now we have an 18-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 16-year-old. We've got a lot of old timers in our house, and their blood work is still perfectly normal. And that's what we expect. Wow.
So I want to thank you so much for being our guest today. And I want to thank you also for all that you're doing out there to help keep our pets healthy and happy naturally, and keep us pet parents aware in a way that is very easy to use. And it makes it almost enjoyable to be able to interact and to see everything that how it can benefit our pets. So I want to thank you so much for that.
Oh, well, thank you.
And thank you for being our guest, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.